Well, I appreciate the friendship of Jesus, too. I appreciate you being here today. Boy, I tell you what, it was great preaching last night. And I'm glad I got here in time for it, even though I made a wrong turn. But we got it turned around and got it here in time to hear the word of the Lord, have some good fellowship. I like fellowship meetings, camp meetings, getting together with the Lord's people. Appreciate Brother Randy, your pastor. And I have a lot of fond memories here at Keene Mountain. I remember being a young man about 25 years ago, Brother Randy coming through this area, preaching for Brother Randy and staying there with him wandering off in those woods and praying and just that's sometimes I was here, I wasn't even preaching, just here in revival with you folks. And boy, I've seen the Lord move in a mighty way right here. You know, you go to places and God touches your heart, and it makes those places more special to you. Even though things change historically, you'll always go by that spot and remember what God has done for you there. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I tell you what, I remember the Lord coming by here and helping us, and just some wonderful, wonderful things. Amen. Just all kinds of memories. In fact, the first revival that I preached as a married man and brought Sister Lloyd with me was right here at Keene Mountain. I'll never forget, we were unloading, you know, our luggage and everything. We stayed over here in the evangelist quarters. That used to be an evangelist quarters over there. Yeah, the Purple Lagoon. I was wondering if you remembered that. I helped Brother Randy paint it purple one year, and that's what we labeled it, was the Purple Lagoon. And it was back before it was purple that I stayed there. I don't know what color it was back then. I just remember unloading our stuff, and I was, you know, putting my clothes, hanging them up in the closet, and I looking for something to wear to church. And I looked over at my beloved wife, we were just freshly married, and she wasn't used to packing for me, and I wasn't used to letting someone pack for me. And I still remember what I said. I said, "Honey, where's my pants at?" And she said, "What do you mean, where's your pants at?" I had one suit that had a pair of pants. I may have had a pair of dress pants on. I don't know. I had to borrow 3 pair of breeches from Dale Ward to preach at Revival Land. Mixed and matched all week long, but we got the job done. Amen. Fond memories. For years, I carried around a necktie that Brother Dale gave me. I don't know who gave it to him. I don't remember seeing Brother Dale in a necktie very much. But he had one on. It had leopards on it. Can you see Dale Ward in a necktie with leopards on it? And I walked in. I was just serious. You know, Brother Randy, I looked at it. I said, "That's a nice tie." And I mean, I guess people had teased about it, you know, before I got there, and I didn't know it. But I said, "That's a nice tie." And he said, "Oh, just took it off." Here. Thanks, Brother Dale. I carried it around for years. I don't know what happened to it. I've misplaced it somewhere. But a lot of wonderful memories here. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I need the Lord to help me here today. Oh, my. I want to preach to you here. If you'll turn to the book of Romans, I want to read a little bit this morning from the book of Romans in chapter 5. I don't want to take a long time. Look forward to hearing Brother Barnett preach this morning. And I don't know. I guess it's an unwritten rule. I've never seen it written down, but I've heard it before. So I don't know. Maybe you've never heard it before, so maybe I shouldn't reference it. But somebody said, don't preach anything at camp meeting or fellowship meeting that you've not already preached before. And I don't know. Somebody told me that rule. I try to follow good rules, but, you know, a better rule that I've tried to go by is just to preach what's on my heart that God has put there. And Brother Randy asked me if I'd be ready to preach, and I was praying yesterday morning before I left, and just I don't know, the Lord began to work this verse in my heart. And really before yesterday morning that he began to work this verse in my heart, a day or two before that, he did a work in my heart. I'm 50 years old, and I've been preaching this gospel, trying to preach this gospel for about 30 years, but I still need God to work on me. I believe in salvation. I believe in sanctification. I believe that there is a definite aspect of sanctification. Can I get a witness here? It's like crossing the River Jordan. You cross the river. There's something definite about that. That's a picture of sanctification, is going into Canaan land. But once you get there, there is room to grow. You don't grow into sanctification. But we do grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And the church said, amen. I'm thankful for God's grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Romans chapter 5, would you lift your hands and ask God to help us? Lord, I thank you for every soul that is here today. And I know that these are your sheep, Lord. I pray that you'll feed them today. Oh God, give me clarity of thought and anoint me and help me to say just what you'd have me to, nothing more, nothing less. Do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said amen. I seen Brother McDonald at breakfast this morning. I was coming in. He's there in the lobby eating breakfast. He said, "You got your bull in the pen?" I said, "Well, you know how those bulls are." I didn't know what to say. You know how those bulls can be sometimes. So I don't know if I've even got a pen or a bull, but I do think I got some sheep food this morning here. So if I could feed a little sheep here this morning, I knew what he meant. I'm just having fun with him. I want you to look here at Romans chapter 5. I'll begin in verse 1 and read on down to verse 5. Therefore, being justified by faith. God bless you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice these great themes in these few verses. Justified by faith. Peace with God. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. In the grace of God, one of the great themes of the gospel. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. That's a great theme, isn't it? In hope of the glory of God. I think that's the greatest theme in all of this, the glory of God. Amen. But let's read on here. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God bless you. You may be seated here. I want to preach here, if God would help me today, about his love in our heart. His love in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now I want you to realize here, and you already do because of the language, but just so that I understand, I'm making this clear here today. I'm not talking about anything that is the product of my heart. I'm talking about something that comes from a source that's much higher than me. I pray that I can only be a conduit through which the love of God flows. You see, there's things that we just cannot do in our own strength. But we must do. But I thank God that we don't have the frustration of an impossible task. It's impossible in our own strength. But he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yeah. And so I thank God here today for his love. And I'm making it a personal prayer. Maybe I'm just preaching to old Kev here today. And so you can be the audience and say amen. And seek me on myself here a little bit today, because I feel the Holy Ghost trying to teach me more at 50 years of age how I need more of the love of God to be shed abroad in my heart. Not just to me. We understand God's love to us. I'm not just talking about God's love to me, but I pray that God's love can work through me. Isn't that a greater level? Amen. It's got to come to you if it's going to go through you. Can I get a witness here? I don't want to be some body of water that takes everything in and lets nothing out. God, let me be somebody, amen, through which your love can flow. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the love of God is perhaps the most foundational message that there is in the Bible. I can't think of any subject that's not touched by the love of God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, now, the reason I think that it's such a foundational message is because it's part of God's character. You see, the scripture tells us that God is love. I think the devil hates the message of God's love. I think it's his biggest threat. I really do. And he cannot destroy it. He cannot destroy the love of God. And so the only thing he can hope to do is to try to pervert it. He can't really pervert God's love. His only hope for his purpose is to try to pervert, amen, the definition of God's love. He can lie about God's love and hopefully in his mind get us to believe it and so pervert the definition of God's love. That's his only hope in accomplishing his purpose, because he'll never be able to defeat it. Oh, I need to preach to you here today. I really do think he tries to redefine the term and the concept of love. God's love. He tries to sell us a counterfeit. You ever notice how he tries to relabel things? He really does. You ever dealt with people that they have their own definition of the labels of biblical truth and Christian thought, and you've got to redefine everything before you can talk to them about just about anything? Well, the devil's a master of that. He's a master of deception. I think the world has redefined love. One thing that I've come to an understanding of is that the world defines love as a noun. And I think the Bible often defines love as a verb. The world tells people we fall in love. You know, it's like some pool of something that you're walking, stumbling along, and fall into and hurt yourself. When I think about falling, I think about, you know, getting a scrape on my knee, or I fell the other day. My children were wanting me to play hide and go seek. And I was sitting there, you know, resting in the chair. And they kept asking me. And, you know, they can't help it that I had them when I was later in life. And so they wanted to play hide and go seek with their dad. And so I finally mustered up, the energy in my mind to do it. Notice how I said that. And I thought, well, you know, supper's just right around the corner here. She's about got it ready. So if I go out right now and play, she'll call us all into supper. And that might get me out of it here. Not that I didn't want to play with them. I don't have the energy that I used to have. And so I went out there, and I was having a pretty good time, Brother McDonald. And for some reason, I let them talk me in. I've learned that there's different versions of hide and seek. And one of the versions is pretty old. It's the one I played when I was a kid. It's the version where they find you and you go running to base. So, you know, I thought I could handle that. I used to run a lot when I was young, and so Lydia's 11, and Levi's 7, and Ruthie's 10. No problem, you know, I could outrun them. I've outran, you know, a lot of people. I used to run pretty fast, and so, there's no way I can outrun Lydia. And somehow Levi got to hiding with me, so I didn't have to worry about outrunning Levi. But I was in the odd position of trying to outrun my 10-year-old Ruthie, and I almost had her beat, Brother Andy. I almost had her beat, and I didn't get one Charlie horse. I got two Charlie horses. I still have bruises, Brother Horton, on the back of my leg, and, you know, one here, and they locked me up so much that I fell face first in the front yard right there on Highway 290 when everybody was getting off work at Jackson Energy, where the whole world could see the new pastor at Bond laying on the ground face first with dirt all over him when I got up, and I could hardly walk up the stairs. And so when I think of falling, I don't think of anything pleasant. You want to help me preach here? And that's the way the world has defined love, as something that is just mindly tripped into. We fall in love. Look, love, that's not what love is. It's no more that than anything else that the world says about love. Love is not just a noun. Sometimes it may be used that way, but real love is an action. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's how God defines love, by his actions. And I think that's how God wants love to be defined in us, is by how we act. And everything we do needs to be touched by the love of God. If we've got God inside of us, will it not be touched by one of his greatest attributes and characteristics? Oh. I hope you don't pull back on me. I've preached before and realized sometimes why we call this a pulpit. I know that worldly churches and the devil himself has so redefined the terminology, and sometimes we shy away from it. And I've been guilty of, and even when I do preach on it, I take probably too much time trying to clarify it. That is part of it, you know, love not the world. I mean, I'm holiness. It's a shame, you know, after 30 years of preaching, I have to keep telling folks that, but I am. I don't mind. I'm Pentecostal too. And I know the charismatics have come up with a bunch of nonsense and call it the gifts of the Spirit, and it's not. Oh, come on, somebody say amen here today. It's the same thing with the love of God. Two things that I want to touch on here. It is a part of God's character. I've mentioned that already. And it's shed abroad. It's shed. Now, you know, just my country mentality of defining that shed, it comes off of him. It emanates from him. We shed light on a subject. You turn the light on, but it's shed out into areas. It comes off of him. It's shed abroad in our hearts. So you see, it's not just talking about coming into my heart, because it's shed abroad. It goes a long way, like a river, like a light source. And somehow my heart get mixed in the middle here from the shedding of God's love. And it
it going abroad. Somehow God has chosen the children of God to be some sort of conduit through which he let his love flow. Oh God, that's what I want in my life, is for the love of God to be shed abroad through me.
I felt like preaching this last night. Brother McDonald got up and got to talking about how we need to make, I forget your exact wording, Brother McDonald, but it resonated with my heart, talking about how we needed to make sure it was the love of God. Can I get a witness here?
You're preaching good.
See, it's not a compromising message.
No, it's not.
Speaking the truth in love. Love is that vehicle that will carry truth farther than it would ever go without it. In fact, you separate truth from love and it's no longer the whole truth. It is a distorted version. Let me just give you three ideas here, and I'm going to get out of the way. Lord, help me here today. But first thing I want to tell you is that love is the foundation of holiness.
Yes, it is. All right.
It is.
Yes, it is.
You cannot be holy without God's love.
That's right.
Whether it's inward holiness or even outward standards or a standard separation from the world, all the trappings that are involved in the world. Randy's already quoted from behind me, love not the world. The very foundation of holy living is where you put your affections.
That's right. You are preaching right.
Oh, hallelujah. So often we've seen the tragedy of people who conform to an idea, but they never get it in their heart. Oh, God, help us. What we need is not conformity. In fact, conformity is the world's way of doing things. And Paul realized under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that that's not going to work. And he said it like this: be not conformed to this world. That's the world's method of pressing you into their mold. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. A transformation. That's what love is. It is the foundation of holy living. You know the scripture. The foundation of all the law. Those two divine pegs that all of God's law hangs on are love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. There's a lot of folks still asking that question, who is my neighbor? And there's probably some folks wondering who God is. But I'm going to tell you what the foundation of living a life that pleases God, whether it's holiness or righteousness, is if we have a heart that is full of the love of God. Because you can't love God like you need to on your own. And you can't love your brother like you need to on your own. You'll need something from God to do that.
He'll
transform you. It will transform you. Woo! Any holiness we might have, if it's true holiness, is a result of the love of God. It is the fruit of the love of God. It's God's love towards us. It's also built on us loving God. You know, that's why I laid down a lot of the worldly things that I laid down. It's because of my love for him. Brother Randy, when I got rid of my television 31 years ago, I don't know of anybody else in my family that was living that way. I'm trying to search and think, and I can't think of anybody. In fact, when God started dealing with me, the preacher I had wasn't even living that way. Nobody was preaching to me against television when God started dealing with me about it. All I can tell you is that as a teenage boy, I'd been raised in church. I got saved when I was 7 years old and called to preach the night I got saved. But as a teenage boy, I started praying. And when I started praying, there came a time when God began to put his finger on things in my life. I've told this so many times, but I'm going to tell it again because maybe you forgot me telling it. But, you know, I was so naive. And I had heard some preaching on television, but not a whole lot. I mean, preaching against television, excuse me. I got to clarify that. Preaching against it. I'd heard some, but not a whole lot. And so, you know, I knew how God was dealing with me. I'd pray and I'd turn that on. It, Brother Mike, it vexed me. And so I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I thought I had it all figured out. Brother Barnett, I thought I'll watch TV first and then I'll pray. Yeah, that's the wrong kind of watch and pray, Brother Randy. It didn't work. It did not work. I'd watch that and get my mind filled with all that stuff and try to go pray. And it just, you know, my mind would be on that stuff. And Brother Noah, it wasn't a difficult decision. I'd go in there and pray and my heart would get filled with the glory of God. And it wouldn't take very long to be in front of that thing to be vexed. You remember how Lot had his righteous soul vexed because he was down in Sodom? Oh, Lot never did move out of Sodom until an angel had to compel him to leave. But I tell you what happened down in the heart of this young man. I realized that Sodom was sitting over in the corner of the room, and it vexed a man, the Holy Ghost, that had been communed with my heart. And it was a real easy decision to make the trade for the glitter of Hollywood and to put it away. It didn't even seem like a sacrifice to realize in its place I would get more of the glory of God. I have never regretted it. Because it was based on love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And I got so much love for him that there was no more room for love of Hollywood. You gonna help me here? You love somebody, you don't want to do stuff that vexes them and hurts them. See, that's the heart of the matter. When people begin to compromise, that's the heart of the matter. I've preached to them. I've told them they were going the wrong way. I've spelled it out, and I'll do it again by the grace of God. It's my job as a pastor to warn, to teach the difference between the holy and the profane. So many times it falls on deaf ears because there's a heart that's not in love with God. So I'm focusing on that today. The love of God shed abroad. Oh, you going to help me preach a little while here? That's why I got rid of my jewelry. I had never heard anybody preach against a wedding band. Of course, I was a teenage boy. I wasn't married. I didn't have one.
Yep, no doubt.
But I had a class ring. And I had a diamond ring. And I began to see very quickly that, you know, if you allow one piece of jewelry, it's hard to close the door on any jewelry. I was just a young man.
Brother McDonald. I sincere in my heart, I'd have that class ring on, that diamond ring on. I kneel down by that couch, and I started to say, I don't know why I did it. Now I do know why, but at the time, I unconsciously didn't really know why I did it. I'd take that class ring off. I'd take that diamond ring off. I'd put them on the end table. I'd kneel down. I'd pray through until the glory of God filled my soul, and I'd get up, and I'd put my jewelry back on, and I'd go to work, and I'd go do the things that I did, go to school. Are you going to help me here? I don't think I'll ever forget that morning when I got up and I grabbed that jewelry and I went to slide it on my finger, Brother McDonald, and the Holy Ghost said, why are you doing that?
Why are you doing that? Oh, I love it, Sean.
Nobody was preaching to me, and I'm not against preaching. I'm preaching it right now. It needs to be preached. I'm just telling you, it wasn't being preached to me. I'm for preaching it. Oh, don't misunderstand me. But you got to preach it in love. Can I hear an amen? And I answered the question. Lord, that draws attention to me. I took it off and I never put it back on again. And I remembered one service I was in where a missionary was making such an appeal, and I felt so compelled I didn't do it. I wish now I would have. My testimony would be a little different than this one, but I felt so compelled. I didn't have a lot of money, but I felt so compelled to take that diamond ring off and go up to him after service and say, I don't know how much it's worth, but sell this and put it into the work of God. I'll give the work of God the most valuable thing that I had in my possession. But oh, let me tell you, there's something more valuable than your ornaments. There's something more valuable than your entertainment. There's something more valuable than some trinket that may have your heart. And it's your heart that is set on the trinket. And if you'll give God your heart, then he'll have everything else. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ye ready always to give an answer to any man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth within you with meekness and fear. Love is the foundation of spiritual gifts. You will not have God's power without God's love. Think about it. Spiritual gifts come as a, you don't possess spiritual gifts. The Holy Ghost does. He gives them to the church severally, to every man as he will. You may have more faith to operate in one than others, and so it may become more apparent that that one operates more often in your life. Are you going to help me preach a while? But you don't possess the gift of healing, and you can't heal anybody. You don't possess the gift of prophecy. You may have the Holy Ghost. Amen. All of those gifts come as a result of the manifestation of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. You see the motive there? The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and you can't separate God's power from God's love because God is love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity? Sounding brass, tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries That's a tall order, isn't it? And all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. We can't have God's power without faith. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, faith which worketh by love. No wonder our faith don't work sometimes. Well, it's quiet now. I've come to grips as a pastor that the gifts are more apt to operate in my ministry if I love the people that I'm trying to minister to. I don't mean to be disrespectful, Brother McDonald. You're just sitting right here on the front, and I feel comfortable standing close to you. In fact, if I... is me.
Yeah.
And with me come all of my benefits. If thou would but seek for more of me, then that's what I would give thee. And all of these benefits would come with me, saith the Lord. We've said it so much, it's become a cliche. I hesitate to say it again, but it's just so true. Do we love the gift more than the giver? Oh, God. I got to quit here today. But the love of God is our only hope at the judgment. You don't want to go to the judgment without God's love. See, God is not only love, God is holy, God is just. And so in the wonderful plan of God, his love gave his son to pay the penalty for sin. And so that way, because of God's love, if we confess our sin, God is still faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's because the penalty was paid through his love by his son. But we got to have faith. Oh, I'm trying to preach to you here today. Hyman Appleman, that old Jewish preacher that got saved and became a Christian and evangelized, told of a dream that he had, and he died in his dream and was carried towards the judgment, and he kept getting closer to a bright, indescribable source of light. And when he got there, he could do nothing but fall on his face, and his tongue was thick in his mouth, and he couldn't even speak as this voice boomed from the light and said, "Who art thou, mortal, and what are you doing here?" He couldn't answer. And the voice came again, "Who art thou, mortal, and what are you doing here?" He said, I couldn't speak a word. He said, And right about the moment that I felt like I was about to slide off into hell for eternity, I heard footsteps behind me. He said, and I was able to open my eyes just long enough to see these hands come down underneath me to pick me up. And he said, I noticed there were nail scars in those hands. And it picked me up, and I still couldn't look towards this bright great light that was before me. But the voice of the one that picked me up said, Father, this one is one of mine. He confessed me before you, and so I will confess him today. Amen. Before you. He confessed me before men, and so I will confess him before you today. Oh, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. Oh, it reaches high beyond the brightest star and down to the lowest hell. I wish I could preach to you here today. I'm saved, Brother Randy, by the grace of God, by the love of God. But one of these days, my works are going to be judged. Paul told about in 2 Corinthians of a group of people whose works, all of our works, are going to be put to the fire. Some of them are going to be burned up. Why in the world would they be burned up? Why would some pass and others wouldn't pass their works? It's got to be the motive. Remember that church in Revelation? I know thee, the church at Ephesus. I know thy works. And he named them, buddy. They had a blue ribbon list of works. Nevertheless, I have somewhat, not somewhat, somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He didn't say they didn't have any love, but their love had begun to wane. I'm closing. I'm remembering that man that said he had a dream. He was in heaven. On a golden street. And next to him were all of his works. He looked down the way and there was someone else. And a pile next to them. And so it was down the whole street. Way down the street, he said, I noticed a procession coming my way, but I couldn't make out what was going on. It would stop and then it would move forward. Stop. I got to the place where at times I would see a little smoke. And finally it got closer and I realized what was going on, and it came up to where I was, and it was the Lord and all of these saints gathered around him that had joined the procession after he met them. And he looked at my works. And when he did, he judged them by fire. He said, and when he did, there was just a little bit of gold left. See, what had happened, whatever gold, silver, and precious stones were left, the Lord would fashion a crown and give it to them. And then they would take that crown and cast it at his feet. And he said there was enough gold left for him to fashion a crown that was just big enough to fit on my little finger. He said, and I took my crown and I cast it at his feet and said, Lord, this is how much I love you. That's just a dream, but oh, it paints a vivid picture. Lift your hands with me here today and pray with me. God, let your love be shed in my heart. Brother Randy, I got to say one more thing and I'm quitting here. You ever get attacked by fear? I've never considered myself a nervous or a fearful person. But there is a spirit of fear. And the devil knows how to attack even a pastor with it. And it wasn't very long ago when I got a feeling that came over me. And I'd felt it before. And Brother Randy, I didn't really understand it. I thought I did. And I asked the Lord about it. And he let me know it was a spirit of fear, Brother MacDonald. And I went to him. And I said, Lord, the Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear. Would you somehow give me the love I need to cast that fear out? I'm quitting. I'm quitting right here. I'm telling you this, and I'm stopping. And every time I have felt that since then, I've opened my heart up, and although I didn't sometimes say it out loud, I said it in my heart, oh God, fill me with love for this or for this or for whatever it was. Are you going to help me here for just a minute? And I'm telling you, God is my witness. I have literally in my body felt the love of God rise up in my heart and that fear fade away. Oh, let it be shed abroad in my heart. Lift your hands today and ask God to fill us with His love.